What's up, guys? This is the Toasty Podcast. Today, I've got a very, very freaking special for you guys. We have a guest on, and I didn't get the video on Zoom. It was on Zoom. The conversation was on Zoom. I'm sorry, guys, but whenever you use Zoom and you select a certain setting, it always puts the video on the other person. So I had it like that because I wanted to see his reactions to our questions and all of those things while we asked them. Let's get into it. This is the number one politics, society, and culture podcast that you'll ever hear. It's called the Toasty Podcast. Look, if anyone is going to start a media revolution, it might as well be us. Sky created the Toasty brand to influence people in a positive way in order to empower independent thinkers such as himself to stand up for what they believe in. And here at the Toasty Podcast, we call that staying toasty. So, where does that leave you? It's simple, really. When you support our work, you're supporting the good fight. We produce podcasts, create YouTube and TikTok content, and design apparel that isn't made in China for you. We want to engage culture, so let's get toasty. John Huffines, he's a candidate for Texas governor, and he will be running in 2022. This is a big deal for us because it's the biggest guest we've had on the podcast. I wanted to do it right. I also wanted to do it professionally. We didn't push him too hard on things. We didn't talk about issues like crazy, and it was not a debate. That's not the point of this podcast.
I think we're good.
All right. So off the bat, real quick. Former state Senator Huffines, what should we call you? Should we call you Senator Huffines, Mr. Huffines?
You can just call me Don. How's that?
Don works for
works
me.
Works for me, man.
It's my dad's name, so it's easy.
Yeah. Yeah, our video might be frozen. My computer, I just got this computer trying to run this whole thing going on. So anyway, it's a little bit of a technical error on our end for video, but if you guys can still hear us,
okay,
we're good, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
It is an audio podcast, so I mean, it works still. I hate it that I can't get our video going.
Okay, no problem. You just, however you want it. If it's just audio, we could do, whatever you'd like to do. We're good. I'm ready to go.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, right off the bat, I think we can get into it. I have a couple questions, of course, but I mean, we can start off with maybe some of your history as a senator. Matt probably can run that real quick. He kind of had some questions about that. So,
my name is Matt and co-host of the Toasty Podcast. I was looking at your voting record, and personally, I'm a pretty staunch conservative. There's no secrets here on this podcast. I don't think I would have voted a single way differently than you had. I pretty much give your voting record an A+ personally. That being said, with the 2018 election, so going back to 2014 when you won the primary, did you run unopposed in 2014?
No, I was an epic battle. I knocked out a 24-year incumbent and never. Career politician, he was very liberal Republican. I knocked him out in the primary in about 140 days and for the campaign. And it was never had been done before. And it really has never been done since because there was no runoff. It's just he and I.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was looking at that primary ballot. And I mean, it looks like it was a nail biter of an election for sure.
Yeah. It was. It was very close. But I see you were talking about the general. I had no Democrat opponent in the general.
Right. And then 2018, that 2018 general definitely flipped kind of pretty drastically. Then again, you're representing one of the most liberal areas of Texas, unfortunately. If you were representing, I'm not sure what district Fort Worth is in. I think it's 15. But I think you would have gotten reelection pretty handily because your voting record is pretty stellar, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was. Well, hey, the Democrats in 18, Dallas had pretty well flipped all D's in 06. We lost all of our judges and a lot of our staff, but our elected positions. But in 18, they pretty well swept everything. There's three elected Republicans now in Dallas County out of probably 80 partisan positions or so.
Jeez. Man.
All right, Don. So I think the next thing for us would be, or for me anyway, personally, I look at all your issues you cover on your website, of course. And I like all of the stances you have. Like I can't really find one that goes against something I want or don't want or whatever, you know, but I think every Texan can agree with me when they say, you know, they want to get rid of property taxes, right? That's obviously one of your bigger points, getting rid of property taxes. I kind of just have a question of how that would work, because I saw, I guess you have, you know, consumption tax swapping, you know, and that would be a slow going thing. And then you want to hit the education part of property taxes first. I guess the only question I really have then is how you'd make that work and how much the consumption tax would have to be. You know, I feel like it would have to be a large amount to compare to what property taxes might do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Sure. No, it's a very good question. And it, because when you first hear this, you know, you think, oh, yeah, that everybody wants to get rid of, but that's just not practical. That's just not going to happen. You know, people, I get that a lot. Well, that's real believable, really. You know, everybody says,
right,
that's just not believable. And so we're so preconditioned to thinking this is just something that can never, you know, a precondition to living in life, you know, that you're never going to own your own property. But that's just not the case. In Texas, to set the table for you, you never own your own real estate, of course, and you don't anywhere in the United States. You just rent it from the government. And in Texas, the rent's really high. And so you can say, well, you pay off your mortgage, but you really don't, because a third of your mortgage is property taxes. And you don't have any control of it, of course. It goes up and up every year, and you don't have a lease. This is not just about the money you're going to save, which Texans are going to save, which is tremendous, just tremendous. This is about our economic liberty. This is actually about being free and not being really kind of like a slave to the government, where the government owns your own ranch, your farm, your land, your business, and your own home. So this is a deeper meaning than just saving the money. And it's very doable. And I tell you what we're going to do. First, I'm never going to have an income tax. We already have a constitutional amendment against that. And it's going to take about 8 years. So it'll take a while. It might take 10 years. We're going to put it on a glide path to zero. So we'll gradually get rid of property tax. The sales tax will gradually go up. But the main way we're going to fund, keep all the local governments fully funded, so they'll still get all the money they're currently getting, is we're going to take it from the state of Texas. And the state's revenue, state of Texas revenue buckets grow substantially every year, an average about 8% annually, 7 to 8%. We take 90% of that revenue growth and we send it down to the local governments. And so there is, so we're just replacing the property tax revenue with state revenue.
Now, I guess on top of that, then it's you're changing it from a county thing to a state thing, is in essence, because right, property taxes are county. But is that, I guess that's not an issue, because I guess, you know, a lot of people think that the more things go up the chain of big government, the more control that might be handed down, right? Or the more regulations, yes, that might be handed down. I think that's one of the things that I'm weary of whenever we talk about switching something from a county level to the state level. Now, if there's a constitutional amendment against income tax, awesome. That's good. I'm just afraid of what happens next, I guess. Like the initial idea and your idea right now sounds superb.
So for instance, Parker County gets a lot of its revenue through property taxes. Would the county essentially be reimbursed from the state with that state revenue? Is that basically the idea? Okay.
Yes, it would. And there's a lot of, let me point out that you're going to get to vote on this because it will be a constitutional amendment. So at the end of the day, I'm committed to making sure all Texans have a chance to weigh in on it and vote the final bill and everything that we get out of the legislature, because it's too important of an issue for you not to have a voice in it, for Texans not to have a voice. But that's exactly what's going to happen. There's a lot of paths to get there. There's a lot of ideas like a value-added tax. There's other taxes called a fair tax, different ways that the state doesn't rely, or local governments don't rely on property tax, because it's a bad way to fund governments. So I mean, we can design, there's different things I've seen out there. We can design it where some money comes into local governments from like the more sales tax goes to local governments and it's split up. But the bottom line is they're going to be fully funded. And I agree. One potential risk is that the money does come from Austin and there might be more strings attached to it than there currently is. That's a risk because going forward, that would be, my administration, it wouldn't be an issue. Going forward,
right,
it could be an issue.
Well, I mean, just the simple fact that you say, you know, you admit, yeah, there is risks involved, that actually eases my stresses about it, honestly, because that means you're being honest. You know, it's a big battle, and that's my whole thing. You know, it's like that's when, you know, there's a lot of Texans that want to just say gung ho and they'll say, you know, get rid of property taxes, but we're the behind the scenes, and that you just explained that to us. So that's really good. I like that. I appreciate that. I think, sure. You know, I think, our next thing is to basically ask what makes you different than the Alan Wests of the world. You know what I mean? Whenever you start running, I mean, he's probably your biggest contender. I think everyone in Texas can agree at this point that they don't necessarily want Abbott in place.
I think most, you know, conservatives, true conservatives are pretty done with Abbott at this point, the Governor Abbott. And, yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, Alan West is my pick, you know, just off the top of my head. But after speaking with you and reading your history, I'm definitely very, very intrigued. And I just want to know what sets y'all two apart.
Sure. Of course, we get asked that a lot. I think my record really speaks for itself. And my legislative record, my experience in Texas and with the state legislature and is just different. I'm on a different path. I'm a business guy. He's on a path of a military guy and stuff like that. And I'm a business guy. I'm the only elected office holder in the history of the state of Texas, according to Secretary of Senate, that never took any money from the government. No pay, pension, health care, per diem, no travel vouchers, no reimbursements. I didn't ask for a reimbursement for anything. I didn't even use their office furniture. Right. And I paid for all the football tickets. So the giveaway. And I don't need a job. The job's just not getting done. I've got just a real different way to look at it than Abbott or others because, you know, Abbott's a career politician, 30 years in elected office, never signed a paycheck in his life. And I just want to solve the issues that affect Texas. I'm not in it to get a new career. I don't want a new career. I got a great career. I got a great family. But I'm doing this to save Texas. And I think that we've got the solutions and we've got, and I certainly have the courage to implement those solutions. I'm not worried about the political ramifications. And so it's just a different lane. We're raising a lot of money. It takes a lot of money if we're going to win. Here's the thing, gentlemen, it really does. Texas is huge. And I'll tell you this, I'm not doing this to make a political statement. I'm not doing this to send a message. There's a path to victory, and we're on it, and we're going to win. I'm opening 15 field offices. I'm working my tail off. I got 15 offices opening around the country, around the state. We've got great endorsements. I think we'll end up with all the conservative or most of the conservative organizations in the state endorsing this campaign. As you know, probably Rand Paul's already endorsed it. Ron Paul's endorsed the campaign. And a lot of other folks, including the chairman of the state party. I know Alan was the chairman of the state party. But the current chairman, Matt Rinaldi, endorsed the campaign before he was chair, and others. So we got the resources to compete. We're raising tens of millions of dollars, and we're going to win this thing.
Heck yeah, man! I guess we can't really say much to that. You know, that's good. That's pretty much it for us. I think. I mean, it was going to be a 15-minute interview, so we kind of tried to like keep it short and concise and get the points across. You know what I mean? You ever done a podcast? Actually, I think Matt actually has another question for you.
I was just going to ask.
Go ahead. No problem. I got time.
What's your campaign website? Oh, no worries. Where can people find you, reach you? Do you have social media, campaign website, that sort of thing?
Sure. DonHuffines.com. HUFFINES. DonHuffines.com. And they need to go in there, endorse, and sign up with your email so you can stay informed. And also, we have text messaging. You can go to 79005. So text Don at 79005, and we'll send you out more information. I mean, I just sent a text out. We're linking everybody to the whistleblower that came to the campaign, if you're familiar with that. So I'm releasing that information that they right now, as of today, yesterday, I guess.
What
that's some breaking news. What info is that?
Yeah, you're already releasing it, right? So yeah, go ahead and tell us, man.
Yeah, I can. Well, whistleblower came to us when she works at, I mean, that person works at a Department of Family Protective Services, and it's a 13,000 person agency in the state of Texas. And it's one of the largest agencies in Texas. And to work there, to onboard into the, and to get hired, you have to read and take a test on a 28-page document. It's all about critical race theory. And it's all about Marxist philosophy. And then you have to watch these videos. And they actually give you a test on this. So what they're doing is real, and they've been doing it for years now, it looks like, promoting CRT, critical race theory, to all the people that work in this agency.
Yeah, I think people don't know how deep it already has gotten as far as CRT goes.
Yeah, it's very invasive.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it's pure Marxism, and it's really separating us from each other. But the point really of it is how deep the swamp is in Austin. I was there. I saw it. I was cussed at and screamed at on the floor of the Texas Senate more than I've ever been in my adult life. And this is by Republicans. It's not by the Democrats. It's by the Republicans. The swamp is infested in Austin. It's just as big as in D.C. And it's all about the lack of leadership from our governor. One thing I tell your viewers, and I'll tell everybody this, the governor of Texas can get really almost any bill done he wants, whenever he wants. He's the governor of Texas. He's a leader of the Republican Party. So all this angst, when we're trying to stop the genital mutilation and sexual mutilation of our children in Texas, or transgender crap that's going on, or we're trying to get rid of taxpayer-funded lobbying, we're trying to get limits, we're trying to get our legislative priorities done of the Republican Party, all that's on Abbott. Abbott doesn't want any of that to be law. He's the one killing it all. It's most things you see in Austin is for show. It's a hustle. We're all right. Part of the hustle. And so I can go on and on about it, get me going, but
yeah, you're not the first one to say that. I'll say that. I mean, I think Alan West even talks about how, it's all Abbott doing that.
And I was going to say, speaking of Alan West, he was chair of the Republican Party of Texas. You'd think he would be the one to help get people in line as well. If the governor's not going to do it, it kind of falls to him a little bit to say, hey, we all need to get on the same page and make some progress, show Florida what's, good what for. Because right now, Ron DeSantis is making Abbott look like, I don't even want to say, but he's making him look bad. And I think to your point, like, a governor should be a leader and should show that courage and stand up to those, slowly creeping in liberal ideologies that are subversively, inundating our children in our school. And like you said, at human resources departments, and it's everywhere, and it's got to be stopped, because it'll destroy us as a nation, as a state. Yeah, it'll divide this country very quickly. So,
well, you're totally right. My whole campaign is about leadership, no excuses, and that's really what it boils down to. Abbott's a political windsock, just blowing in the wind.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, political windsock. Nice.
And, hey, y'all know what an excuse is? It's the skin of a lie.
Yeah,
we're all tired of the lie. Man, tired of them.
You're right, man. You're right. No, I totally agree. Well, I mean, hey, man, that's all good stuff. I like it. Is there anything else you wanted to add to it, to this podcast? Anything else you want to tell us?
Well, I can go on forever. Well, I don't want to do that to you. I just say this. I'm going to prove not just to the country what it means for Texas to be sovereign. I'm going to prove it to the world. I'm not asking permission and the federal government to do anything. That's my whole border plan. The whole key to my border plan is I'm never asking permission from the federal government to secure the Texas border. It's not necessary.
I was going to ask, what would you do with our National Guard? Would you send them all down there, or at least the vast majority? Because I think we have what, over 15,000 National Guard troops, and only half of them are at the border right now, something like that.
Yeah, they're acting as crossing guards.
Yeah, yeah.
They're helping them get across the dadgum river. That's what Abbott's doing. Well, look, I've had this on my website since I entered the race in May the 11th. And all the other candidates running now are starting to use it, which is good. I mean, flattery is a compliment, but I'm using Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution, and it clearly gives the states the authority to do what we need to do to stop an invasion. It was almost written for this very occasion when the federal government's not coming to our aid. So I'm going to engage the entire Texas military, over 20,000. We're going to secure the river. We'll immediately deport anyone back across the river. And we're going to have legislation like E-Verify, comprehensive, just to stop the magnets that attract everybody here. Right. We've got the authority to do whatever we want to do to stop this invasion. There's 25 bridges over the river. I'm stopping all inbound commercial traffic from Mexico. This is strategic. This is to make sure Mexico feels the pain because they're being a very bad neighbor.
Right.
And they're not getting any of their stuff into Texas until they secure their side of the river and take it back from the cartels.
That's right.
Another thing I'll point out is that every road that goes to every bridge is a Texas road paid for and maintained by Texas taxpayers. We can do anything we want on those roads. And so we can stop all the trucks. I'm going to make sure Mexico secures their side of the river. Our military is going to secure our side of the river. I'm going to get done in 30 days, which no one's ever done. The federal government will never secure the river. They're never going to secure the border. They never have. It's not in their interest.
Yeah, it's not. It's too far away for them to even worry about it.
It's not in their interest to do.
Right now, it's a premeditated attack on Texas. Mm-hmm. And I don't care. I'm going to secure the river and get her done. And we're going to use the military. I'll get it done in about 90 days.
And I'm really glad you used that word invasion, because that's exactly what's going on. And it's not just people looking for political asylum or refugee status. It's people that were making decent money or making a livable wage where they're from. They just want to make more money or want a better life for themselves, which is fine, but you have to do it through the legal process. And if you're just come in, that is the definition of an invasion. And now we're getting all these different nationalities. There's no background check. I'm worried that it's just not going to be, you know, physically safe for most Texans at some point, you know, because there's no verification of who's coming in or anything.
South Texas having tons of issues with it, as far as ranch hands and whoever having problems with these people just coming in out of nowhere. You know, it's not good. There needs to be control. And that's awesome, man. It sounds like you got some balls. It sounds like you have some freaking huge gonads and you're just going to go after it. And that's exactly what, you know, Texas needs, honestly. So I don't know, we're a border state. That's important. Super important.
For the biggest border state.
The biggest border state, you know, so.
Yeah, we have 62% of the border with Mexico and 1,230 miles approximately. So this is a huge issue for Texas. Most people don't realize that we probably have 400,000 to 500,000 kids in our school system that aren't supposed to be in it. And we're spending $5 billion a year educating. Aren't even supposed
from property taxes that we're paying, mind you.
Right. If we were just educating our own kids, that would save us $8 billion.
That illegals can go to our universities as in-state resident fee for the same price as Texas residents?
Right.
Resident. And most of them get to go for completely for free. University of Texas at Austin, Texas A&M University. It's basically free if you're an illegal. Books, fees, everything. And we're just totally upside down on this thing, so. It's going to end under Huffines administration.
Yeah, talking about Texas now and figuring out what's going on in Texas makes me think we're a lot further down the wrong path than I thought we would be, you know, or I thought we were anyway, because everyone thinks like that we compare Texas to Florida and these other states. And we're like, no, we're good. You know, we're the ones, you know, the red state, you know, but. Nah, dude, like the way we are right now is we need to get
not
back.
Not only are we getting invaded by the southern border, but we're also getting invaded by, you know, Chicago and LA and California. And I mean, all these liberal cities, they're leaving and they're coming here because we have a great state, and then they don't change their voting pattern at all. And that's another thing that worries me, is that we're getting all these out of towners, you know, because the population of Fort Worth, for instance, went from about 500,000 in 2010 census to about 950,000 in the 2020 census. So we've almost doubled our population. And I can tell you, they're not all Republicans. And Fort Worth, I've lived here my whole life, and it's been a deep red, most red urban center in America. And it voted for Tarrant County, voted for Beto against Ted Cruz, which makes me sick. You know, it should never, Tarrant County should never be blue under any circumstance. It should be a deep red county. And the fact that it went blue for Beto and then blue for Brandon up there, just worries me to death. I don't think that's a good sign for Texas. So hopefully we can get Tarrant County back red for 22.
Yeah, well, the new districts, the county itself, of course, not going to change. And I think it will go red. It was pretty close, but Dallas County is a different story. Dallas County is tough.
Mm-hmm.
It is tough. But look, this is the cycle for Republicans in the general. But my battle, my knife fight's right in front of me in the primary. And do you know that Abbott's never had a primary opponent, really, in 30 years in any office he's run for? He's never had to be accountable to the Republican Party voters.
Because I think the Republican Party voters have been asleep for 30 years. That's what I think is happening. So I think that now, I mean, I'm freaking 28 years old, and I was not into politics until 3 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't care. I thought that it didn't matter. It didn't affect me. And then I started this podcast. So here we are. You know what I mean? And I think that's a lot of people's minds are being changed because of, you know, obviously the pandemic, COVID, all these mandates and all this stuff coming down on us. And we're like, oh my gosh, mayors have more power than anyone thought. Wow. You know, now they're realizing this stuff matters. You got to get out and vote.
Absolutely. We've lost so much liberty in the last 18, 20 months. And I thought it's not even comprehensible. They destroy your business. They put 3 million Texans out of work. Abbott did. Of course, I never would have done any of that. The Constitution doesn't give me the authority to do that. I led the open rallies across the state. I'm the one that put the op-ed in the newspapers in April of 20, urging him to open it back up. I warned everybody what he was going to do. I would never let anyone take a vaccine against their will for any reason. I've never taken the vaccine. I never will take it. And so we just, I'm here for your liberty, period. Your personal liberty and your economic liberty.
Well, heck yeah, man. Don, what can we do to help? What can we do to help, man?
Go to donhuffines.com and Prince, where you live in the state. We've got offices opening all across our, like I said earlier, and I just cut the ribbon in Midland. I cut the ribbon in 3 in Houston Market. We're just everywhere. So we're in it to win. So just go to our website and sign up to help. Appreciate it.
You got it, man. You got it. Absolutely. Hey, thank you so much for giving us your time. That's awesome. I appreciate it so much. This is the Toasty Podcast with Don Huffines. And be sure and share it if you want to, Don. But you can find us anywhere on social media platforms. So
thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
And good luck.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yep. You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for listening or watching if you're on YouTube. You can find us at all the podcast platforms there are in the world. You can also find us on YouTube and follow us there. We are available everywhere. Please share the show if you liked it. The only way we grow is if you share, and that means you care. You can find me at The Real Sky Day on all social media platforms, and you can go see our website at therealskyday.com. See all the stuff we have to offer. We also offer apparel, and that actually does help out the show. TheRealSkyDay.com/shop, of course. But above all else, stay toasty.